What an amazing weekend of college action. It started really on Thursday, and then it was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Five straight days of college football. This is how you got to kick it off. It's layered. It's intense.
Yep.
Just when you think you're done, there's another one coming, and you get hit in the face by another college storyline or game that you care about. The NFL knows how to do this, too.
They're pretty good at it.
This week, they've got the Thursday and the Friday and the Sunday and the Monday slates covered for you. Used to be, things got started Sunday at 1 o'clock. Then it was the big national Thursday night game. Smart. Now it's Thursday night and an international game on Friday night to make it all work out as far as the rules go.
Yep.
Then we've got the whole day worth of Sunday action, and now we've got Monday night as well. So we'll have 4 out of 5 days. Can't do Saturdays because of college, or else they would. We'll have 4 out of 5 in the NFL. Let's go through some of the big storylines in college football from this weekend. First things first, I was giddy about Texas-Ohio State. It ended up being a really entertaining game, even though there was no offense or no scoring. Two great defenses. The number one Longhorns lose on the road in Columbus to Ohio State 14-7. Arch Manning scuffled. This was our first real look at Arch Manning in a start on the road. He finished 17 of 30, which doesn't tell the story. Threw for 170 yards, a touchdown, an interception. Danny, his off-target rate in this game of 37% was the worst in that stat by a Texas quarterback in over a decade. And he was 0 for 5 on passes, 5 or more yards downfield over the final three quarters. So it could very well be that he ends up winning the Heisman and leading them to a national championship and going number one overall this year. All those things are still on the table. But the talk of him being generational, I didn't quite see it in his first game as the guy at Texas with Quinn Ewers in the pros.
Thought he was bad. I think you said it correctly. Now, that doesn't mean that he is bad. It doesn't mean that he'll always be that. I don't think he's going 17 for 30 or 170 yards and he's going to miss every throw that he makes in crunch time and not convert third downs and be terrible all year long. But he certainly was in that game. I mean, he looked overmatched. It looked like he was late, looked like some of the throws he needed to step in and zip, didn't have the zip. It looked like he wasn't on time with things, looked like it was too big for him. Now, I understand that. That's claimed a lot of people. 120,000 people, whatever it is, at the horseshoe screaming at you, bearing down on you with a number one in the country type opponent that just reloaded as a Natty Championship contender in their opener where they're fired up. Ohio State pretty much beats everybody except for Michigan these days. So that's not an easy environment. So I'm not slamming the gavel, but everyone should pump the brakes a little bit on crowning and anointing and letting you know that you've seen the next gold jacket wearing a generational transcendent blah, blah, blah.
I think that goes both ways, though.
Yeah.
Because I think the discourse, social media is toxic. I try not to argue with Twitter when I do this radio show because it's not a real place. But you're sitting there watching a game and you're seeing everything online that's being said or whatever. And everyone's trying to get the snarkiest joke off and the best zing off on Arch Manning. And as if one game to start your career in the toughest environment you can play in,
yeah,
against probably the best team in America going into the playoffs this year, I would imagine, the defending national champions, is like the beginning and end. Not there's no preseason, you haven't played any games, this is your first look on the road. And by the way, the whole team offensively struggled. They couldn't run the ball.
Yeah.
You were behind the sticks. It's a dependent position, all that stuff. I think two things are true. One is, to your point, he stunk in that game. His first pass attempt, rolling out to his right, got a guy wide open. You know, it was a tough-ish play across his body, but he skipped it in there like 8 yards away from the receiver, and I was like, ugh, that's a bad pass. You thought it's the first of 30, it'll be fine. And a lot of them look like that. Again, the on-target percentage was the lowest of a Texas starting quarterback in any game in over 10-plus years. So he did scuffle. Even with that, though, we just live in a world, and we saw it with the Griffin stuff and the Cousins stuff here. Every throw is a referendum. Every throw is an endorsement. See, he's the man. See, he should go first. See, he's terrible. And that's just how people operate, trying to confirm their priors. But this was Arch after the game. It was an ugly one. Texas 0-1 is the number one team in America.
I hold myself to a high standard. Recognize I got to play better. Got to lead more. Got to get our guys to play well around me. And ultimately wasn't good enough. So, yeah, I am hard on myself. I was surprised we weren't scoring. I mean, moving the ball. But ultimately, you got to adapt and adjust. And that's what good football teams make you work for it. And they definitely did that on Saturday. I think it was a long 24 hours. But I got it all out of the way. Watched the tape with everyone this morning, and the good, the bad, the ugly, and then now we're full on to San Jose State after, I guess, this media after you stopped talking to
me. Wasn't that much good. So that part of the film study probably went by quickly. But San Diego State, you level down a little bit. My guess is he plays a lot better.
Yeah.
He puts up some numbies. It's two, you know, three touchdowns and 279 yards or something, and the pendulum swings back. But he got tested, and it was not a test that went well.
Yeah. Hey, Siri, what did Eli Manning sound like at 20 years old? I mean, that's all I could think about, hearing him talk postgame. I hadn't heard a ton of him commenting, and it literally sounds like he's doing an Eli impression.
Uncle Eli?
From that age. Yeah. Just, it was wild, man, to throw it back.
Good news for Arch Manning. He hasn't had a lot of it the last few days, so I'll give him some good news. He didn't have the worst debut everybody tuned into this weekend.
Yeah, everyone was watching.
That belongs to Bill Belichick. 48-14 whooping for North Carolina last night at the hands of Texas Christian. Now, my takeaway from this was actually pretty simple. TCU's players are way, way better than North Carolina's. I didn't really think much more into it than that. You'll get your think pieces about how it was all Brady and Bill Belichick's a boob and, you know, Jordan, what's her name? Jordan Hudson or whoever that girlfriend
sure.
is that yeah. he has is ruining his life. Or, you know, there's going to be all kinds of stupid takes, I'm sure. But 48 points allowed, the most ever by North Carolina in an opener in team history. Bill Belichick's defense gives up 542 yards and 29 first downs as the Tar Heels got outgained 542-222. Michael Jordan, Lawrence Taylor, Roy Williams, you name a celebrity with ties to North Carolina, they were in Belichick's suite last night enjoying that one at club level. And boy, did they see a gross performance. First drive, they came out. They went right down the field.
Gangbusters.
I saw Skip Bayless and Colin Cowherd popping off about how they're about to win the national championship. They're doing shtick about him being the second best college coach ever to Saban. And it all came crashing down.
Nick Saban never lost by that much. I mean, dude.
Did he never lose a game by 34?
I don't think
his whole career?
I don't think he did. And I have to go back and check that. I saw someone tweet that, so I have to double check it.
In fairness, never coached at North Carolina.
Right. Yeah.
I don't understand what Belichick's doing, really. To me, there's nothing to be gained by this. Unless his goal is like, I don't care what anybody thinks as we get bludgeoned. I'm going to get to teach the fundamentals of football to a bunch of dudes and build this thing from the ground up. And that's what he gets off on. Okay. To me, this just seems like a really, really weird business decision.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on in his brain. I do know this. They don't have the horses, and I don't know if they're going to get them. I don't know if that's exciting for the 18-year-old who in his life, probably doesn't even remember when the Patriots were awesome and Belichick had everybody's scheme was better. They just remember when he couldn't draft very well for 5, 6, 7 years and Brady leaving and winning a Super Bowl elsewhere. It doesn't look very good right there. So, again, it's one game. Who knows where it goes if he's able to instill his culture and his way of doing things, but doesn't seem like everyone's having a whole lot of fun.
TCU was playing against air. In the second half, at
felt
one
like
point.
It.
Every play a first down, people running wide open. I mean, it looked like a preseason lineup for North Carolina. You know, the backups were in and the starters were in for TCU. Their running back, Kavorian Barnes, goes for over 110 yards on 11 carries. Their wide receiver, Jordan Dwyer, was uncoverable, 9 for 136. He scored a touchdown. Belichick's got to get back to the drawing board.
Well, I was doing a fantasy draft last night during that game, and I even tweeted this at Funny Danny. And every time it seemed like I was near on the clock, sort of, okay, I'm a few picks away. Let me lock in, see who my choices might be, et cetera. I'd be looking at my computer and look up, and then UNC didn't have the ball anymore. Like the way the timing kept working was I only saw them play defense for the entirety of that fantasy draft, it felt like. It just, you know, you've had that happen, whether it's basketball or some game where it just feels like you're always defending. Like when the Nats can't score, it's like, we're back on defense again. We went 1-2-3 on 4 pitches, and like, let's get back out. The pitcher's warming up. Feels like you never have a chance. You're just getting bludgeoned.
Before the game, Bill Belichick did this interview with Holly Rowe, which had me actually laughing out loud. He's just zero energy and has nothing to say. But she asked about 34 years ago to the day you made your NFL coaching debut, and he's like, I hope this one goes better. Cowboys whipped our butts. It didn't, by the way.
It did not.
Narrator voice, this one did not go better.
And the Horned Frogs took it to the woodshed.
And then she was asking him about like his hoodie, and he's like, it's kind of my thing. I mean, that was actually like, I don't think he meant it to be funny, but
he's
it made
going
me
straight
laugh.
Deadpan.
But this was Bill Belichick last night on an ugly evening to start his UNC career.
Well, it was a great, great atmosphere here for the game tonight. You know, fans were had a tremendous energy, a walk. And, you know, we played competitively, but then just couldn't sustain it, so. Obviously, we have a lot of work to do. You know, we need to do a better job all the way around, coaching, playing, all three phases of the game. Just wasn't up to what it needs to be, and I know we're a lot better than that. So,
This is seemingly a negative college football theme here, but these are the big stories of the weekend. How about Alabama being in some trouble? Kalen DeBoer can relate to Bill Belichick. He is the butt of jokes today in circles with that fan base in Tuscaloosa. So, freshman, second year, where do I want to go with this? Fresno State, his second year. Let's start there.
Okay.
They make a leap of 6 wins from year 1 to year 2 for him. Then he goes to Washington, and he year 1 won 11 games. He goes to 14 year 2, and they're a national championship caliber team. This is year 2 in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, they went 9-4, and the expectation is now you had your season.
Here's the leap.
You took your training wheels off this offseason. Now it's time to go win a natty title. And they lose to Florida State, a team that won 2 games last year, and they got destroyed. Early on, first 3 drives, their defense, unprepared. Drives of 75, 65, 52 yards. They give up 72 points. Out of halftime, you think, okay, let's go make some adjustments. Let's coach. They give up a 68-yard touchdown drive. End of the game, they've got to get off the field to have a shot. They give up another 75-yard touchdown drive. It's hard to pull out the positives from the game. You go to the offensive side of the ball, they've got this uber-athletic quarterback who looks the part in Ty Simpson. He struggled big time, 4.9 yards per drop back. Same number of negative plays as 20-yard gains. Their wide receiver is one of the best in America, Ryan Williams.
And they can't get him the ball.
When they did, he dropped it.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was the thing that I've always said this, when I watch a football game, the thing that boils my blood more than anything is drop passes. Like, there's almost nothing players can do, maybe fumbling, where I actually get mad at them. The drop pass thing. I'm watching Ryan Williams. I have no horse in the race. In fact, I'm probably rooting for chaos and a Florida State upset. But he dropped the ball so many times by the end of the game, I went, I'm over this guy. Please transfer. I don't care how good you are. He could not catch the ball. And I got people telling me he's as good as any other receiver in America.
Last year he was special.
Cool.
Yeah.
5 catches, 11 targets, 3 drops, middle of the field. He left with an injury at one point. He was horrendous.
He was bad
in this game.
I mean, my son had a soccer tournament this weekend, so I was able to watch like early part of the game when Alabama just walked down the field, pushing Florida State around. And I'm going, this is because there was some chippiness. There was some chirping between these programs. Tommy Castellanos, who was at Boston College, had kind of made it his mission, letting everyone know.
I liked him in BC last year.
Yeah.
He was just frisky, not a good team, but like he was always a pain in the ass. And now at Florida State with some actual coaching and some weapons,
thoroughbreds, yeah,
they might be okay.
They might have something. I mean, certainly there's some speed there, some good designs. But I'm going, okay, Alabama's going to just be physically better. Like, they're going to push Florida State around. They might score a couple times, but this is what the game's going to be like. And I'm checking the score, you know, during slow moments of my son's game, and I'm stunned. I could not believe that not only could Alabama not muster anything after that as Florida State was responding, but they were now behind playing catch up as Florida State sort of pushed them around the rest of the way. It was incredible.
Yeah, I couldn't believe how different the Seminoles looked. And kudos to Mike Norvell, whose head's been on a platter. Everybody's mm-hmm. wanted him out, the 43-year-old head coach there, after what was a tumultuous season going 2-10. They were 13-10 Orange Bowl losers in 23 and then went 2-10 last year in a dozen games. But to get that win decisively over Alabama was a big, big deal. But, yeah, Crimson Tide, if you're Kalen DeBoer, it's getting late early.
Yep.
I think any conversation about him getting blown out because of the buyout being so huge is ridiculous. Like, I don't think he's getting fired anytime soon. But you can't lose 5 games this year without this feeling like it's over forever. Like, in terms of that program and what Nick Saban had built, this doesn't happen if Nick Saban was there.
Well, good thing the conference is soft and you'll have a bunch of cupcakes. Oh, wait, it's a buzzsaw.
That's well said. Locally, quick one here for 2 games. Virginia Tech, their defense looked really, really good against South Carolina and a Heisman-caliber quarterback in Lenora Sellers, but they could not move the ball or score on offense.
I think that's going to be the issue.
They were down 7-2 after 1 with a safety. They were down 10-8 at the half. Same score going into the fourth, down 2 points. They end up losing 24-11. Sellers in the game, 12 of 19 passing for a couple hundred yards. I'd have to tag in Hokie Altizer here, who was on the broadcast for this game. Is Kyron Jones, Drones just not good? I remember watching him in the past and thinking, that's a pretty good college quarterback. He was 15 of 35 with 2 picks, gave them no chance in this game.
Yeah, he was really good 2 years ago in the second half of the year when the Hokies kind of had that resurgence. They were able to win the bowl game against Tulane, and then going into last year, they had so many guys returning, and he was one of those guys that they had such high expectations for. He struggled last year, kind of felt like expectations were high, and maybe he wasn't able to handle that well. He also had some injuries, But I think you saw on Sunday, you saw a little bit more of what you saw last year versus that second half of the year that you saw him in 23, where he was a lot better.
8 of 18 on third down. And drones 15 for 35 in the game with the two picks. And if you're Brent Pry now in year four, they went 3-8 in year one, 7-6 in year two, 6-7 last year, and he's 0-1. I saw odds released today by Bet Online of college coaches with most likely to lose their jobs. He was at the very top of the list. Like, they got to the Military Bowl and the Duke's Mayo Bowl the last 2 years. That's not good enough in Blacksburg. You're going to have to do better than that.
And frankly, not a particularly strong conference either in the ACC. I mean, yeah, Clemson's really good this year. They're a championship contender. Well, you know, even though they lost opening week, that's a good team. And Miami, I guess, is pretty good, but there's not much else in your way. Let's beat Georgia Tech and Wake and Boston College and Syracuse. You should sleepwalk to a pretty decent bowl, 7, 8, 9, 10 wins, and that hasn't happened.